Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilow, and joining me as always...
Ben Vanel here. A pinch and a falcon punch. It's the first of the month.
Sure, nice.
Yeah, okay. It is December 1st.
It's the tis the season. Well, the weather outside is frightful, but GameCube is so delightful. See, we both did
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Equal.
Lovely stuff. It's the start of summer. It's a beautiful summer's morning.
They're washing my windows at my apartment. That like someone's got a big rope. A regular looking rope too that they're on.
Yeah.
Which scared me.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it should be a whole one of those black sort of things that you're like, maybe that's made of Kevlar, but it's just like a beige rope.
No, I know it scared you because you insisted on putting the blind all the way down. Well, we're here in a dim box.
Not because I'm afraid of the rope, but because I don't want him to look in and see us podcasting.
Yeah, it's
true. There's nothing more embarrassing.
It's the most shameful act. I'd rather, if I had to pick between...
Okay, quick, pretend we're jacking off!
That's what I was about to say. You're going to record a podcast and you're going to jack off and you can only close the blind for one of those activities.
Oh.
I'm jerking off with the blind up.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I always do, so...
they only come once every 6 months here, and so that means, unfortunately, so do I.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Hey, speaking of self-flagellation, very quickly, I get a plug-in for my art exhibition?
Yeah.
It's opening tomorrow evening in Melbourne, Friday, December the 2nd, 6 p.m. at B-Side Gallery on Brunswick Street, 121 Brunswick Street. Come on down. It's a bunch of my artworks. There's going to be free drinks on the opening night thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then the show is on until December the 11th. So if you can't make the opening night, you can just pop in anytime during the week.
Second,
I'll probably be there.
Second time you've done one of these at this gallery. First one was very fun.
Thank you.
I got a print.
You did. You got a t-shirt.
Yes, I did too. Yeah. Big fan.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's a good little space. I think I probably saw more of the stuff in the lead up for the first one. So this time,
interesting.
I'm like almost going in blind.
Well, I've been posting more in the lead up to this one. So that tells me that you've muted me.
Well, no, I've been real unplugged from social media in general. So I'm the same.
Oh, great.
I've not been looking at anything and I'll be there and I'm going to walk around and be like, fucking hell, man. You should have posted this. This is awesome.
It is very strange that like other artists and stuff I follow, it does seem to be a common thing that in the lead up you just post nearly everything.
Right.
To get, you know, to get, oh, it's like, here's this painting and here's this painting to get people interested and like maybe they want to like, you know, have the time to think about whether they want to buy it when they turn up.
Yep.
But coming from the background of putting on comedy shows, it just seems crazy. Imagine just in the lead up to you doing a live show, if you were just every day posting 10-minute clips of like, here's another chunk of the show, folks.
Yeah.
Now, if you liked all this on Instagram, come check it out again with none of the surprise.
Posting full spoilers in your promotional material. What are you, Square Enix making a trailer for Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion?
Oh, okay.
That's
maybe
the sort of shit that's causing me to close my blinds.
Yeah, that's what my exhibition is called. Crisis Core Final... No, it's called Saturation Fascination. Anyway, come down and check it out.
Yeah.
If you're in Melbourne, would love to see you there. But boys, the time for plugs is over. And the time to get into the news is upon us.
The time to talk about someone else's plugs.
Mm.
Which is basically all video game news. You're right.
Yes.
It's either that or anytime it's actual news, it's like, there's this horrible thing happening at a studio that you love.
Try
and reckon with that.
Yeah,
I never really thought of it that way. That basically, you know, there's some people that get annoyed that we have ads in the middle of the show. But in a sense, the entire show is an ad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm talking specifically about the Mario movie trailer.
Oh, yes.
The most artful of all the advertising formats.
I do think that it can be. When there's a good trailer.
Those people that get to do their own, like a Fincher or a Nolan, who really are like...
A Jordan Peele.
Yeah, who have the clout to be like, you know, the studio has someone that does that for them and they get on the phone and they're like, tell little Jimmy to fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm getting into the edit suite and I'm making my own trailer.
Yeah.
Because my last film, where I was a newbie, you picked me up from obscurity, he did the trailer, he gave away all the best bits, hit the bricks.
Yeah.
If they've got a trailer that is a mood accurate trailer and shows none of the movie,
perfect.
The best thing you can ever do for me, someone who's going to watch it anyway.
Someone editing the Memento trailer and putting the start in it.
I get,
and spoiling the movie.
That's great. Because that was Nolan. So Nolan, that's exactly what I'm talking
about.
Like Nolan at the time, he wouldn't have had the clout to be able to do his own trailer for that.
No.
So just imagining that the trailer person in at the studio like sweating like, what are the wrong bits to put in? I don't even know.
It was the same format as that last trailer where they had a little quick direct with Miyamoto showing up and being like, guess what? I'm still doing it.
Yep.
I've got this shirt from Donkey Kong.
Yes.
I loved it. Although, no, I hated the fact that he was wearing a t-shirt that had the Super Mario Brothers movie logo on it, but then he was wearing a blazer over
quite
that.
Quite so a just closed see, blazer, yeah.
Yep. What a tease. What could it possibly say under there in this fucking trailer for the Super Mario?
Aesthetically, it just really annoys me. I was just looking at it going, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
Take off the blazer or wear a white t-shirt.
Yeah. That would be good if he appeared wearing the blazer and he's like, you know what? This is a bit more casual.
Yeah. It's a little hot in here. And then there's nothing on either side. It does just say Umar. It's some obscure operating system that he loves called Umar.
And he's got big guns.
Yeah. He's got huge biceps.
Huge,
tiny triceps. Concave. His arms look like bananas.
Yeah.
Covered in tattoos of Sonic and Crash Bandicoot. That would be such a funny move if you're Miyamoto.
Sorry, Mr. Miyamoto, son. You can't come into this onsen.
Found a tattoo gun as a boy when I was exploring the forest, and I based my life around it.
I still love that they're not just dropping the trailers. They're fit. They've really got the need to have a couple of the cast weigh in with the most, like, you know, 2 second thought put into it video about how much Nintendo means to them.
I preferred this one to the other one where, like, because Anya Taylor-Joy standing in a bathroom or something, just like so echo. I love it how whenever someone in movies shows up in these things, like Jim Carrey accepted some award, whenever they're doing a video thing, it's always the lower production quality than a podcast recorded in front of a window cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was watching this, I was thinking, like, it feels like the whole everyone getting used to the sort of like the visual language of people just recording in their own homes over COVID. And I wonder, like, if the pandemic hadn't have happened, you know, having these people just film these quick things clearly on their phone in their houses, would that be a thing that the studio would be okay with, or would it be like, you have to come in? Like, you have to do this on a proper soundstage.
That's true.
Or now it's like, yeah, people kind of like seeing your, you know, the background of your balcony and whatever.
Right.
Because the Rocks of the world, I understand that he can just be like, I'm doing it in the gym.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck off. But yeah, I don't know. Either way, Anya Taylor-Joy just goes like, yeah, it's cool to play Peach. See you later. And then Seth Rogen has a dog named Zelda.
Yeah.
And he's like, I actually like Nintendo.
Yeah.
That Chris Pratt guy's a fucking liar, but I get high and I play Mario. Dude.
Yeah.
I bought it. Yeah, he seemed sincere. Yeah. He whipped the camera down. It's my girlfriend's favorite breed of dog. So showed her that clip. She was rapt to see that.
What was it?
Seth Rogen has a King Charles Cavalier.
Oh, yes.
And then this was so funny. So he's like, yeah, I love Nintendo so much that I named my dog Zelda. And then they cut back to Miyamoto and he goes, thanks, Seth. In my neighborhood, there's a cat called Mario, and there's also a cat called Cooper.
I think there's a turtle called Cooper. I think he said there was a turtle who lives there named Cooper.
Just riffing off the back of Rogan. Yeah, two kings just chopping it up. I loved it.
If you're Miyamoto's neighbor, did you know that he was there and then you named the cat Mario because you're friends with him and you're like, hey, I named my cat Mario. That's fun. Or is your cat named Mario and you see Miyamoto one day and you're like,
I think it's that.
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's that. There's got to be a lot of pets in Japan named after Nintendo shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the Western world,
yes,
too.
Exactly.
I happen to know Seth Rogen has a dog named Zelda.
Wow,
yeah, I learned that.
Well, there's a guy in my neighborhood with a cat named Mario.
I used to live near Nick Giannopoulos, and oh, I was wanting to get a dog at the time, and at no point was it crossing my mind to call my get a like Shiba Inu and call it, you know, like, I don't know, Wog.
Yeah,
or like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, here, you Wog. Can't take that dog into that. Again, in Australia, it's a different word.
It's a very different word.
Extremely different.
It's an extremely different word.
Yeah.
To the point where the Mario trailer is the same internationally, and that's the only similar thing internationally now. Countries are different. I've tried to come back to the Mario trailer,
and I've
done a ham-fisted job of it.
But you know
what's delicious? Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a fistful of ham.
Oh, my God.
Great. That's, why is everyone so mad about
that's
it?
That's just the right amount of ham.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's what this trailer felt like, a fistful of ham.
There was more Mario talking in this one. He says, let's a go. He does a bad wahoo, and everything he says in between that is real Chris Pratt. It's old news, and everyone knows it, but he's not a good choice for Mario Chris Pratt, and it's become more and more clear, because also the character is super bumbly.
It's very
in this trailer. Real, like...
Yeah. It's very Illumination kind of hero character prototype thing.
Right.
Which is annoying, because it's like, I think what everyone loves about Mario is that he's like, he's the plucky hero.
Yeah.
You know, he's the like, he just
gets the job done, right? Like up until now, mostly wordless, just like, yep, I'm a plumber. I'm a professional. I apply that to saving the world as well.
Miyamoto said about him that I don't know if it was in like a Nintendo Direct where he had a blazer on that said ZF and you had to be like, oh, cool. I love Franz Ferdinand too.
Mm-hmm.
But he said Mario's trait is cool.
Right, right.
Which
well,
I
that's
don't
insane.
Necessarily agree with that.
No.
But he is he knows how to jump and
he's,
shit.
He's cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah.
He doesn't get scared
by the fish jumping in his mouth.
Yeah.
I feel like a true moron and a waste of space for caring about the portrayal of Mario's character in this movie. I know it's my fault, not the movie's.
Sure.
But
well, it's part
off.
The movie's fault because
that's a Luigi move. That's fish bit.
And Luigi seems great.
Yeah.
I like
exactly. Yes.
On point.
Jack Black's Bowser still sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if we even heard Donkey Kong say anything, but he was in it and he looks fine.
Yeah.
They were like, we've redesigned Donkey Kong for the first time since he went 3D. And like, kind of.
Mm.
Yeah. He looks like the Yoga Gorilla to me.
He does a bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep saying this. People keep saying.
Not just me, folks.
I've been seeing a lot of this on the internet. People keep saying like, oh, they had to redesign the character models, you know, because in the games they don't have to talk or express emotion. It's like, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Heaps of the games they do.
They do a great job.
They do a lot of expressions and, you know, like mostly expressions because they're not talking heaps. So I'm like, they didn't have to redesign them.
Well, the
they all look fine,
in,
though, to me. Like, Luigi's got a different face and he looks fine. And Mario, it's disappointing.
Mario actually looks the best of them all, I think. And probably Peach.
Yeah.
Peach looks fine.
I do like, they're doing a lot of cool kind of animation stuff. Like, you see a couple of clips of Mario being like propelled by a bullet bill, like he's kind of stuck to the front of a bullet bill and his like face is kind of wailing and stuff. They're doing a lot of cool like posing, and
the environments look fucking incredible.
It all looks good. There's quick cuts around to like a Yoshi's little world running around. We got some, this was the thing that I thought was cool about it. For whatever reason, I didn't really expect them to be diving so deep into the well of like all this source material that's available to them. Like the big shot at the end of like a little Mario Kart reference, there's like a rainbow road and they're driving along it in carts. For some reason, that was surprising to me that they would be going like, oh yeah, we'll pull stuff from everywhere. We'll have Mario wear the Tanuki suit. I think there's a version of this where Nintendo just give it over to Illumination and then have no input, where it is just like, hey, Mario's a plumber, and then he's just walking around, you know what I mean? Where they don't pull in all these other like Smash Brothers references and old school Donkey Kong references and all that kind of stuff.
It depends how much that person in the studio thinks it's fun, right? Whoever like the sort of creative leads are. Because you had it happen with that first Mario Brothers movie where obviously no one gave a shit about Mario there.
Yeah.
So they're like, whatever, we'll do our own thing.
Yeah.
But then and something I prefer about this in seeing what we've seen of it to how the Sonic movies are, where it's in the Mario world, and we talked about this with Sonic Frontiers as well. You've got so much cool looking Mario shit, or not cool, but fun.
Yeah.
Like Mario's main trait, as far as I'm concerned.
It's been like, 40 years of like really good designers and artists making all this stuff.
And there's tons of that stuff where if you're the type of studio that Illumination seems to be, you can think of fun little jokes and stuff to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which that part of it seems real cool, and it's maybe a fault of the character being so blank that to make a movie about Mario, you've got to change that character because, like, how can that guy have any sort of growth or progression? Making that change be seemingly that very first draft, typical sort of this type of movie.
Animated movie,
Of like, small guy in the big city, what's even going on? Well, right. I guess I got to use the power of friendship eventually.
But that's
like,
why they've partnered with Illumination, because that's what they do to generally good success with audiences and at box office and stuff. I mean, it was surprising to me to see that this is going to start in the quote-unquote real world with Mario and Luigi as plumbers who turn up in the Mushroom Kingdom kind of as outsiders.
Yeah.
That was kind of surprising to me, because what's funny about that is like, That's the Bob Hoskins movie. That's
absolutely.
Like that's the setup of the one that everyone hated. Like, I really thought they would try and go a million miles away from that. And like, because my read of it, and I've been meaning to go back and like look up if there's any like story stuff from like the manual of the very first Super Mario Brothers and what the actual setup of that is meant to be.
Right.
But my read on it has always been that like Mario just exists in the Mushroom Kingdom.
He just
didn't come from anywhere else. It's like that's where he's a plumber in at the Peach's castle or whatever.
Totally.
He isn't sucked into a vortex from the human world or whatever.
No, because he doesn't really look human. He's fucking weird proportions. You know, he's part of the Mushroom Kingdom.
He's just this guy.
Yeah.
He's called Mario, who lives there.
But just it's
so
funny.
So you do need to come up with more than that maybe if you're making a movie. That's the kind of the thing. It's like if you want him to have something to do, come like, he's Mario and he lives there and he'll jump on Bowser. So it makes sense that they're changing that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's an explanation for this.
A seemingly quite template thing.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an explanation in the film, but it's just funny in the trailer, Bowser's like, there's another human running around in the Mushroom Kingdom and his name's Mario. It's like, well, what the fuck's Peach then? It's like,
there's
already
other human.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she got sucked in from the real world as well. I don't know. I'm sure there's something about that.
Well, like Daisy and Rosalina, like, these are all already in this world.
Well, Rosalina's like space god.
Okay.
So read up in your Mario lore before you come at me.
Apart from that, we've successfully picked apart the inconsistencies in this children's film.
It's so silly, but it is something that, like, obviously...
You gotta do it.
It is fun to have something that would have appealed to you as a child, even when you're an adult.
Yeah, the whole visual language of it
is hard.
whole visual language of it is like, if I was 12, this is like exactly how I would want to look this, how I would want this to look.
Yeah.
Sure. And like, humor aside, I mean, I had the lowest of expectations for this because I'm not a big fan of Illumination. And the jokes look very much in their wheelhouse, but visually and everything, it's so much better than I was expecting it to look. I really did think that they would completely fuck with the aesthetic of it, and they have. It's like, the whole little things of all the like the levels floating in the sky and all the little stuff we've seen. It just looks like it's going to be. I think it'll be something that doesn't review very well. I think the story will be a bit dodgy and the jokes will be a bit lame, but I think it's just going to be like a fun time. I think it's just going to be a fun visual treat.
It's a kids movie, and I forget that people our age have kids, and everyone who's that I've seen say is like, I'm stoked to take my kids to this.
Yeah.
My kids will get into it and I get to sit there and be like, oh yeah, cool, the Tanuki suit.
Yeah, Chain Chomp. Yeah, see. Yeah.
That's who it's for. Not for me, who's embarrassed to go to this with no kids, but is still going to do it.
Yeah. No, I think I genuinely would not go to see this except for the podcast.
Of course not. Why would you?
to
cruise?
Like, and
I certainly hope not.
Fuck, how did you go telepathics? I think, like...
They should do reverse. You know, there's like mums and bubs sessions of movies where it's like 11 a.m. and there should be like, hey, this is a kids movie. But of course, there's adults who want to like get high and watch SpongeBob at the cinema. Yeah.
10 a.m. is the loser's session. Sorry, you can't go if you've got a kid. Quick, are you happy? Yes? Get to another time.
Yeah.
Nah, it's fine to go.
But
to
yeah, I think.
Well. I'm joking.
I'd probably, this is something I'd probably like check out on streaming, but I don't know. Like, I think of, like, who I was before we did this podcast.
Yeah.
I reckon I just would have been like, huh, the kids movie of Mario, and then never would have thought about it again.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how we should be, honestly, because it's going to be a medium movie that's fine for kids. We don't, not everything needs to be content.
No.
We'll find our own content somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go out, we'll dig some up.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be all Mario all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What about Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah, now he's for adults.
He's got options. He's the grown up. He's got jorts.
Yeah.
You don't get kids wearing jorts. Well, you do, but they're trying to be adults.
They're the main ones.
Yeah. But they're not shirtless.
It's mainly John Cena. Thank you. Yeah, yes. Crash Bandicoot is John Cena.
Yes.
I think it's just the fact that they've never done any other media with this IP, except for this one terrible movie, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just that. It's just that that's underpinning it, of like people being like, love this character and be like, ah, it just would be cool if there was like one other thing out there aside from the games that was like decent with this character in it.
Watch my thing of like, oh, why do we care? Go away when the Metal Gear Solid movie trailers come out. Like,
again, that's for adults.
Absolutely, dude. I'm putting my jorts on and I'm walking down there.
There's no way a child could understand the plot of Metal Gear Solid. Like, that is
honestly, it's probably easier. If your brain isn't yet fully developed, you're probably like, of course.
Yeah.
If it weren't for this podcast, I still would be interested in this movie.
Right.
I would probably, like, from the announcement of, like, we're working on this movie, I probably would have been, like, frantically out there trying to conceive a child that would be of a movie-going age by the time the film came out, so I had a justification to go along day one.
I see a parallel universe where you fly to Sydney to go with our friend Levins and his children.
Oh, 100%.
That's what would be happening.
My friend Pete, who I think I mentioned when the last trailer dropped and we were talking about it, and he was like, yeah, I showed my kids. He's just been starting to get them into games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, they think it looks awesome. And I was texting him about the trailer yesterday and being like, not to sound like a creep, but can I come with you and the boys when you go on day one? The boys.
Yeah. There are those like charities where you can be like a bigger brother, like in that Simpsons episode.
Oh, yeah.
What if I get into the bigger brother program and then ditch that kid immediately after Mario?
Yeah, the Starlight Foundation, any of those kinds of things where you like go to the movies.
Come on, it's got
to
be
like
someone's Make-A-Wish. Let me in.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to say like, what if I sign up as a child and I dress up, I walk on my knees, I put shoes on,
I wear half a trench coat so that going to the movies in half a trench coat will surely have the opposite.
That's right.
That's probably a better call, because trying to join any kind of big brother organization, I have to imagine that this episode alone would be grounds for flunking the police background check that you have to do for those kinds of organisations.
I think just hosting a video games podcast at all.
Blinds
kids,
down.
Kids love humour. We're fine. There's a bunch of other news.
Sure is. Well, speaking of Nintendo, they've been out there flexing their legal muscle yet again. It is funny in the same way.
That's the fucking actual guns that Miyamoto has.
Yes.
The law is the left one, and then the right one's also the law. Rules.
Yep.
That's for right. Law and rules.
It is funny that in the same week of releasing this trailer that's like very fun, very silly, very cartoony, they've also slapped a cease and desist on a fan-run Smash Brothers tournament. Pretty last minute, so it's left the organizers in a real financial hole, because they've booked all this stuff that I guess it's late enough that they can't get refunds for.
Yeah.
And they now in turn are having to refund all these tickets to people who were paying to come and see a Smash Brothers tournament that they've been organizing for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Real shame.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre to have a company that is so fun focused and then just in this huge area, they just do not get it.
Yeah. It's very strange, because like, the reasons are obviously technically, I guess it's exhibiting their intellectual property and making money off of something that they own. But surely organizing this tournament around it and all of that is so transformative of the initial thing that it... But they're reserving their right to put it on if they wanted to, which they're not. They don't have an actual competing thing in there.
Yep.
But they hypothetically could. I mean, Nintendo are litigious in a way that other people aren't. about all this sort of stuff with, like, you know, videos on YouTube and streaming and all of that sort
of thing. Right. It just feels so short-sighted, though. Like, it happens.
100% is.
You see it in sport as well, where certain organizations, like the NBA, are like, put up as many highlight clips of our sport as you want because it's an exhibition. It's a promotion of our thing. Whereas other leagues will be like, yeah, doing the copyright DMCA takedown stuff.
Well,
it's
we're
like
in
so
the,
stupid.
In the TikTok age where, you know, the whole thing of that app is like, here's a thing, repurpose it.
Right.
You know, recycle it. And I mean, I'm sure that Sakurai himself would be like, because that's the crazy thing is like the game is so meticulously designed to cater to this sort of stuff.
Right.
Like, it's so much of, like, the options. It's like, it is so set up for playing these tournaments.
Yeah.
I would imagine that he would see this news and just be like, I want people to get into a big theater and watch the best of the best play this game that I made against each other.
Surely, yeah.
Like, he wouldn't care.
No.
Surely.
No.
On his two TVs.
Yeah.
They say in their statement, this is, like, the organizers of the Smash World Tour, which they put it on a bunch, and there's a bunch of stuff in their statement about, you know, how many people participate in the one in 2022. It was over 325,000 in-person entrants, making it the largest esports tour in history for any game title.
I mean,
6,400 live events.
You don't put this out after you've been sued. It's like, you had this many, like, it's just, it's, you
they
know,
say
it's
earlier, like, that this is with proper legal guidance, this statement.
Okay, okay.
So there must be some reason for them doing it. I suppose to set up the thing of how much money Nintendo has cost them. Because if they can then argue that it shouldn't be fair that Nintendo shuts them down, they then need to be like, and here's what it did to us.
Yes, they can sue for that. Yeah.
Without any warning, we received notice the night before Thanksgiving from Nintendo that we could no longer operate. This was especially shocking given our discourse with Nintendo the past 12 months.
Yeah, that
so
sucks.
So if you think Nintendo's cool with you and then all of a sudden someone else...
Since I love then, that, though. It's like they've spoken to one person in the organization who just did not have the license to grant them this permission. This is like that one person just getting flogged over the hot coals in their headquarters.
Since then, we've been working around the clock to take the proper steps logistically as well as to prepare the same with proper legal guidance. I am surprised that Nintendo has no interest as well, because you'd think it'd even be preferable to them if Nintendo came along and went, give us half.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, hey, we made Smash Bros., give us half or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be more likely to happen.
Have a license fee. Then if you're putting on the event, you pay that.
But,
and then the event gets to go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's already, it's like, Smash Brothers already sold so many, like, copies around the world. It's like, this isn't hurting you.
Yes.
This isn't costing you any revenue on this game that is, like, already one of the most popular series of all time.
That's the worst thing about it is, like, Nintendo, clearly they're not, like, claiming, they're not trying to get money out of it. They're not trying to sell licensing for live events because... They the Switch sold, you know, the most of, you know, like, it was so profitable. They're doing so well. It's not about the money.
Mm.
It's about the principle, which seems to be founded on, like, flawed morals.
Yeah, because,
like,
people, when they, you know, there'll be a story about Nintendo shutting down a ROMs site.
Right.
And people go like, oh, classic Nintendo, they don't get it. And it's like, well,
that
is someone getting a copy of the game for free instead of paying them for it. So that... I completely understand, but, like, taking down a YouTube playthrough or a...
Right.
Yeah, or, like, stopping a tournament of fans, it's like, that is just so, like, yeah, they truly just don't get it.
Yeah.
And in this specific instance, there's a separate company called Panda who are, it's unclear, it's like, this is written with assumption of kind of who they are, but Panda is another company who is, like, partnershiped, it has some partnership with them. So it's more complicated than we'll be able to get into here because, like, as with anything to do with Smash Brothers, there's, like, this whole weird world, if you dive deep enough, with similar-looking fish to the fish you get at the bottom of the ocean. You know what I mean? You get some ugly things going on in there.
A little blooper.
Well, speaking of the ocean, I've got a simple pitch to solve this whole thing.
Okay.
Hold the tournament on an oil rig.
Yes.
You're allowed to, and if they still cancel it... Give a public screening of a film.
That's exactly, yeah.
You're allowed.
Yeah.
But is that still the, because, you know, it's like in the era of...
It's hard to...
There's no VHS
right,
things
blockbusters
anymore.
And yeah,
are you still,
yeah.
Is that still a thing that you're allowed to, like, share a Netflix password? You're not allowed to share a Netflix password, but
no.
You can, if your friend works on an oil rig, then you can.
There
I
must
haven't
be,
looked
be
into
in the,
it, but yes.
Yeah, all those fine print things you just get on some website rather than at the start of anything you ever watch.
Yeah.
A number of times I read the word oil rig. growing up.
It was a prison as well, right? You could scream it in a prison.
Yeah. There were some like there were some state facilities, I think they'd
say. Right. Yeah, right.
Either way, it's as a broader thing, it is very out of step with the modern world, the way in which Nintendo approaches what they perceive to be copyright infringements, but which I think most people and I guess legal documents haven't caught up to this yet would consider to be fair use.
Yeah, yes.
So that's a shame for anyone involved. And Nintendo, since you're listening, cut it out.
Just fucking just chill, loosen up.
Just Mario, take a chill pill.
What would Mario do?
Just
I think
have
he
a little
would be cool.
Toke. You know, and relax.
Mario would be cool about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's
really
his main trait. So
let's go fuck yourself.
That's not helping. But
yeah. I hope that's the end of if that's the end of the movie, Argo style.
Yeah. but yeah, so that just as a broader thing, that's an annoying thing Nintendo tends to do.
Yeah.
Witcher remake's going to be open world.
Yeah.
That's another news thing.
Yep,
not
yep,
surprising.
Yep.
The first one kind of is. The first one is broken into separate chapters that are smaller, self-contained open worlds, that type of thing.
I'd love to see a bit more of that. Old remakes of older games where you imagine that, they are. Like, Mario 64, not jumping between the paintings. It's like, they're all kind of like linked up together and you can run around in between them.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be a massive change, but it is indicative of the size, the scale of remake that they are doing of this, that they are completely changing the fundamental structure of the game. So that bodes well for improving that really not fun to play game.
Sure,
Has good stuff in there. So.
And like, we're getting that next gen version of The Witcher 3, but you know, if you played it, you've played it. It's not going to be a different experience.
Right.
I think a lot of people would not have played the first Witcher game. It was long enough ago, different systems and everything.
Exactly. It was only on the PC and it isn't good.
Right.
It's been given away for free often on like GOG and stuff. But it's a slog these days and was at the time too, just like in... The combat is clunky and it's like demanding in this annoying way. There's a lot of running back and forth doing these fetch questy things, which like if they're restructuring it in a way of turning it into an open world, you'd think they would restructure how those things work.
Sure.
It seems like a full on remake, which is what that game needs, and that's cool.
Yeah.
We're in a real hot spot of those like ground up remakes happening a lot and being really generally quite great when they do.
Yeah.
More for it.
As opposed to, just the HD remaster.
Just
which
a
we
new
were getting
textures
for years.
And even like a Link's Awakening completely redo the look of it, but it's the same game.
Right.
Like the full remake thing is weird for me because I don't like remasters in the sense that I find it super easy to go back and play an old game.
Right.
And then a remake, I always feel real weird about because I don't know, like, well, should I play the old game first? As with a bad completionist mindset, locked into my unhealthy brain, it's a nightmare.
It's brave of you to be open about it.
Yeah. I hope that Nintendo was listening earlier. I hope that a therapist is listening now. I hope that movie directors weren't listening when we shit on their kids' movie they're making for kids.
Yeah, yep.
Because they will see that we do not get what entertainment is.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, it's that guy from Illumination who himself looks like a Koopa.
Yes.
Does he?
Or a big baby. He had that, I think we talked about this off air, Nox, the millennial pause.
Yeah.
He did that at the start of his little segment in the trailer. Just like, hey, it's Chris here from Illumination Studios. Yeah.
Millennial pause is that or a 30-year-old cat's feet.
Fuck, that's
an old cat.
That's an old ass cat.
His name's Mario, but from Mario 1.
Yeah.
Damn, that's an old cat.
Speaking of remakes, I believe it was like one of the tops of the Ryoga Gotaku Studios. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yes.
Blew that apart.
Yakuza,
Like a Dragon.
Yep.
They were saying about how, so the one that they're remaking and putting out early next year is Ishin, which was on the PS4 and was set in like more recent olden days Japan. And Kenzan is older days Japan and was on the PS3.
Yeah. Right.
that a remake of that isn't impossible, but it will depend on Ishin's success.
Cool.
I imagine Ishin will be successful. I feel like the Lucky Dragon franchise has just gotten huge. Like,
massive.
Crossed over from Japan to the West in probably the past, like, what, 5 years?
And people are into it. They did the pivot. People loved that. It's having a real kind of like, second wind.
Mm. The olden days Japan thing works.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima did very well out of that. That one Ace Attorney game.
Boy, we're really staking our claim on this being the biggest game of the year, aren't
we? Yeah, yeah.
You like Dragon Kitchen.
Let's just record our Game of the Year 2023 episode right now.
You were saying that it's a hot time for remakes.
Yeah.
It comes out in the middle of that time.
Exactly.
Number one Game of the Year, Ishin. Number two, Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Number three, Witcher 1 remake.
Yep.
Probably won't come out next year, but it's the number three.
Sure.
Even the trailers were more fun than a new game.
Yep. Number four, I don't know, HD remake of Mario Odyssey.
Fuck yeah.
Let me have
on the Switch again.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about Nintendo. Anything's
possible.
Here.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Came out 4 years ago. Time for a remaster.
Yeah. The re-release of Starfield. The fourth version of Starfield that they've already put out in year of release.
Yeah. The toaster version or whatever the fuck.
Speaking of Starfield.
Oh, yeah.
That's another little piece of news is that Todd Howard did a podcast.
It's actually Jim Davis.
Fucking.
I'm sure we've done that.
We've done it 50 times.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And the game's not even out yet.
We'll do it more.
Yeah.
I don't have sort of the motivation to think of a second joke for it. Like a lazy little cat I happen to know of.
I'm looking forward to the ODLC.
Yes.
I haven't heard that one specifically.
No.
Yep. I can't wait to drink dogs cum. Oh, I should do a joke about Garfield too.
week
of review of that one, we are going to go fucking all in on these.
Yeah, we should write like we should make a Garfield Starfield comic.
Or just like muted words that we're not allowed to say.
That's a good challenge. Yeah, yeah.
So the father of Starfield, John, has Todd Howard was saying in this podcast, imagine someone seeing you doing a podcast.
Ooh. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
He just went public with it. That gives me the ick.
Do you want to cut? So that's from Ally McBeal, the ick.
Really?
The fucking
kids
didn't come up with it. Little fucking thieving shits.
Wow.
They didn't even come up with it.
If you want to hear us talk about Ally McBeal for like half an hour, get on the Patreon, last episode of the bonus pod.
They start saying the ick.
Wow.
Our co-host over here, the ranting baby. Oh, I'm having delusions.
I'm so mad. Who can check him? So do you want to hear some details about Starfield?
I certainly do.
Okay. Yeah.
Orange cat loves lasagna. Okay. It is fun to do.
Yeah.
Because it should have, it would have been out. Yeah, we would have been playing it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we would have been, yeah.
Let me pick out some interesting ones. Yeah, it was meant to come out,
It's more, currently it's like more like Starfield without Starfield.
some really, really, like, broad kind of things of, like, you won't get stranded out in space with no fuel because that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're trying to be realistic, but it's not full on.
It's not a full sim.
Love that.
Yeah.
Thank Christ.
Robot enemies are confirmed.
Ooh.
You will fight robots. But
right.
He was also saying that it is a deeply human galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is human beings
yep.
that you are interacting with here. It's that type of sci-fi.
Yes.
Star systems have levels attached to them. I'd hope so.
This is a
I'd
bizarre.
Hope they'd all have levels. That one's a weird point.
Yeah.
Bizarre, I'm looking at a recap of from Xbox News on Twitter. And this is on Reddit. It's a recap that multiple people have put together.
I think it means like, you know, levels of difficulty and danger, right? Not
levels. It does mean that. I thought it meant levels like the environment
sure if you,
in a video game.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were being serious or not.
We're journalists.
Levels has two meanings.
It does. It does.
Okay, so they will have fixed level.
Yeah, difficulty.
Difficulty
sort of.
Yeah. Fuck, how else do you say it? You know what? I take everything
challenge.
Back.
Yeah.
Sure. He's saying it's been easier to develop because they're not putting it on PS5 as well. Focusing on Xbox and PC makes games easier to develop, according to him, who works for Xbox.
Yeah.
It's actually been easy. We had to delay it by 6 months, but it's actually been a piece of piss.
Yeah. I didn't even study for this exam. I just winged it.
Also, no one asked, but I don't even own a TV. I read books at night.
Fuck this. Well, I mean, this does sound like me. But.
Some stuff about how delaying it was a hard decision, obviously, but they feel like it was the right one.
Yeah, and he's a real hero, yep.
You know what's funny? Just quickly speaking of this, where last week we were talking about the very broken Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
Brokemon.
It is so funny that that was published by a company, the head of whom once made the very famous quote that people forget a delayed game, but they never forget a broken one.
Yeah.
That's just great.
I bet he was mad about it. I bet he doesn't even wear that t-shirt that, as far as I know, just says okay.
He comes in, people are like, and then he takes the blazer off, and on the t-shirt it says, "Heads will roll."
It is still built with sort of the world is generated in blocks, like tiles, like old Bethesda games used to. I think we got this sense from some of that footage we saw from whatever that was, that it will feel very similar to Fallout, Skyrim type
of
stuff.
The old Bethesda. It's chopped up soul Bethesda.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I miss that Bethesda.
All this right wing stuff they're doing now. Do not like it at all.
To be clear, we're talking. Just in terms of if we end up in a courtroom, that was a joke.
It's parody.
Yeah, we weren't talking about Bethesda. We were talking about Activision. more than 1,000 planets they could have easily done, but decided to limit it due to the detail of naming them and having a distinct feeling about each one.
I mean,
the distinct feeling makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You want everything to be different. You don't want repeats.
Mm. Yeah.
If you're going to make them, just fucking name them.
Name them.
Grobus. There's a planet.
That's a planet.
Yeah. X5.
It's good enough for Ratchet and Clank. The Blurg.
Yeah.
They're coming to get us. Fleabus
3.
There's some great boasts in this. We actually could have made up to 100. Like, why cap yourself at 100? Be like, we actually could have made 5 billion different planets if we wanted to.
Well, right. That is what he said. They could do way more than one. They've got 1,000 in there.
We're too busy having sex.
And I guess it's probably, comparing it to No Man's Sky or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
God, he's being a boastful bitch, honestly.
Well, we're only getting little clips. I'm sure when he's saying this on the podcast, his head is down and he's pushing one of his fingers into his cheek.
Sure.
And wiggling his toe around.
I know
he's putting out a cigarette.
We made a lot of Garfield references, but he's being catty here. I really think he is.
They get into some environmental stuff like spacesuits, gases, toxicity, temperature.
Okay.
All of that sort of thing. Yeah, it's the sort of stuff you'd imagine about this game. Other ships do come and go from the starports. They do come and go from so people are moving around in the
world. That's the kind of one where it's like, will that just be like background animations?
Right.
Or will it be like, hey, you can talk to them, them?
It's where you been?
I was in Mars.
Oh, well, that's one of the planets in this game.
Yeah.
Overall.
Easy to name that one.
Yeah, you got a few gimmies there.
Yeah.
He also says something about how he likes a player to feel alone, far from anyone on a planet. And there's a couple of things like that that I think tonally it gives an indication of what it seemed like it would be, but that it is like hard sci-fi in quotes.
Right.
With people who've made ships that barely work and you're alone out there in the universe, rather than it being like Outer Worlds, like, yes, this is...
Right.
Well, Outer Worlds didn't really have aliens, but like...
Like a freelancer or like a... Yeah, like... Yeah. Hey, yeah, there's a big, economy and people are all hanging... Star Wars
and
style,
it's
I
not
guess.
Star Wars, lots of different aliens and whatever.
It is...
This machine goes...
Right.
And there's no one around.
It's like... Well, I mean, Alien is in the title, but it's more like Alien, where it's like, yeah, we're space truckers. Yeah. Like, it's transport.
It's what Alien... Like, the guys in Alien thought would happen that day, not what actually happened that day.
Yeah.
Which is an alien showed up.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And the titular alien.
An alien would be disgusting to look at. Mm. Imagine looking deep into the... blank skull of an alien thinking there'd be eyes. I'd hate to see something that disgusting. The only thing I can think of that would be more putrid is an unkempt pube.
One single unkempt pube.
Just one, depending on location.
Curled up and...
Yeah, really, really long.
If you want to keep yourself looking trim and not like an alien, boy, do we have an option for you here in this holiday season.
That's right. It's Manscaped, boys. It's the season of gift giving. Black Friday and Cyber Monday came and went, but fuck me if I've still got presents to buy. And if you out there want to buy a present for a man or anyone or yourself.
Yep. included in the bracket of anyone,
yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah,
I hope you think you're someone.
Yours little, truly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If that's you saying it.
Yeah, you say it out loud now.
Yeah.
Why'd you say that in public? What the fuck?
And also, fuck, we can make you do anything.
Those window cleaners are looking at you. They're judging you.
Manscaped. Manscaped have the best men's personal grooming equipment. Gadgets.
They're kind of...
Appliances.
A fun mixture of
tools.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They genuinely do. We were talking... We had beers the other night with a friend of ours. Friend of the show, Timothy Clark.
Oh, yes.
Who's a listener mm-hmm. as well. And he was like, so you guys... What do you guys think of this Manscaped thing? I think I'm going to get one. We were like... Yeah, we actually really love it, and
yeah,
you should use our code,
good.
Get a discount.
Oh, you gave him the code? Good.
We would buy one anyway, so yes.
That's very Wolf of Wall Street of you guys.
Yeah.
Sell me this pube trimmer.
But yeah, it's like genuinely a great gift. If I was to receive one, well, I'd be like, hey, I've got two already.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have any, I'd love it as a gift.
Yeah.
It's genuinely quite a thoughtful thing to get for someone because it is like genuinely such good quality.
Be rapt to receive one, but I would be the same. I'd be like, they've already sent me a couple of these, and I don't want to be rude, but when you bought me this gift, did you use the promo code from my podcast? And if they said no, I'd be like, I'm so cheesed
did
off.
Did you at least use Joe Rogan's? Because that also is kind of a gift to me.
Did you help out the mug off? Please tell me some pod out there got something out of this gift that I can't use.
That code we keep talking about is filthy. If you use it, you get 20% off and free shipping on Manscaped stuff. It's good shit, and we genuinely recommend it. Manscaped.com, and the code is filthy.
Kind of an ironic code, really.
It stops you from being it.
Yeah.
It's like if it was like a food delivery company, you typed in full.
Right.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, also, it comes from the name of our podcast, I guess. Filthy for 20% off and free shipping.
Never put that together.
No. Manscaped is good stuff.
I wondered why they suggested Filthy.
Go support the brand that supports this show.
Yeah.
And hey, speaking of gift giving, this is like a... we're going to do a bit of an advertor. This is like in a magazine where they just sneak in. They have this like huge article that makes you think that they've just kind of like written it out of the goodness of their heart.
Sure.
And you realize like, hang on a minute. They're just trying to get me to buy fucking 2-minute noodles or whatever.
Here's the difference. No one's paying us. We're not getting any money from no 2-minute noodles.
Well, we were for the man. But we're spiraling this into like a bigger topic of the show.
That's us right. Reloading.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing more traditional video games content now. Like, I mean, you mentioned magazines, but like 90% of, you know, digital media coverage of video games is an ad for something. It really is.
As well. It's all magazines out there on the big websites.
It's the only way you can make a buck these days.
But it is gift-giving season, and we thought we'd get into some. We've got some emails
to
get
clear,
through.
To be clear, though, we're not getting paid. Us bringing that up does not mean we're taking any money from fucking anything we're going to talk about.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod is the actual way to give us money because we do need it to pay rent and we love our patrons.
No, we're doing this out of the goodness of our own heart.
This
and,
is the real shit. This is what magazines would do if they had the fucking gumption.
Yes. If I ever take money from a video games company or related company to do content, fucking kill me.
Well... I'm not going to do... I will simply tell people. That's going to be my... I'll continue to live, but let anyone know if I ever receive money from anyone to
kill
give an
me.
Opinion.
Kill me!
Now, guys, I want to wedge this in here because I think it does fit in under the umbrella of what we're talking about. We've been saying we're going to mention this for a couple of weeks and we keep forgetting. We've never gotten around to it.
Okay.
But if you are looking for... If you want to give a gift of a game to someone specifically, I think we would all agree that this game, it kind of went under the radar a little bit. It's one that not a lot of people have played or even know about. I certainly didn't until we did our video playthrough of The Case of the Golden Isle.
Yes.
Which you can, if you want to spoil the game for yourself or just get a little taster of what it's like.
Yeah.
You can.
Or tips, because we did complete it.
True, yeah. You can watch us play through the entire thing on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
But I think that this would make, if you're looking, if you want to give a game to someone as a gift, I think this would make a great little thing, because it's not, you know, it's not like just buying someone, I don't know, God of War. It's like if they're into it, they've got it. This
ho,
would...
ho, 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 oh, I'm Jesus. Indie Santa. I'm like the regular one, but I've got like more of a mauve. It's like
he's in pixel art.
Yeah, what a...
ho, 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 I'm Indie Santa.
And I'm here to recommend, yeah, The Case of the Golden Idol.
Yep. Yes.
And you can trust me because I'm not like that mainstream Santa.
Yeah, you're not a sellout.
No. If I ever give someone a gift that's a mainstream gift, kill me.
Oh, oh, oh. Well, I endorse that sentiment.
Now it's
my
only...
elves will swarm me. Yeah, put their little arms down my throat until I choke.
Feed me to the reindeer.
It's only on Steam currently, I believe. Is it? Is it on anything else?
It might be. I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
I believe it's only on Steam currently.
That PC would be the best place to play it, but if you don't have... I'm sure in the future it will come to other things.
I think that's the thing, is they're working on maybe a Switch version.
Yeah.
A physical copy
of it, like it is...
Oh, you can get it physical?
No. I'm saying a physical copy would be cool. It'd be the kind of thing... I never buy physical copies anymore, really.
No. Oh, those limited run game things where you get like a box. That would be really cool, yeah. A little poster of all the stuff.
If you haven't watched those videos, it is an early 90s style point and click kind of thing where rather than doing like an adventure game traveling through an area or whatever, you're getting like a snapshot of
a little tableau.
You kept calling it Burjo's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Kind of like not like big chunks of action that you're having to watch, but like a scene, almost like a comic strip kind of panel sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah, the people are sort of like vaguely moving around, but not in a way where you really have to like monitor. It's
three frames
either
way.
Yeah, it's just to jazz it up a little bit and make it more visually interesting.
For people who played The Return of the Obra Dinn. It is a 2D version of that. It is a tableau of someone dying or having just died or... Steam and GOG. So PC only, unfortunately.
Yep.
You are looking around the different parts of this one frozen moment in time as like this detective god going around and clicking on points of interest in the scene and putting together very much of your own volition what happened in the scene. You've got this screen where there's sort of a broken sentence that is missing words.
It's a mad lib.
That is a description of what took place.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like blank spot killed blank spot in the blank spot, but more complicated.
Yes. Because
and you've got to fill in Colonel Mustard candlestick conservatory.
And it obviously gets considerably more complicated as you progress through the game. Yeah.
And so you're clicking around these little scenes. And you'll stumble upon, it's like a sword, and then you click the sword and that gives you, you're filling up a little inventory of words and it'll tell you in each one how many words there are to find. So you kind of go around, you look for all your little clues, you get all your little words, and then you're sort of piecing together all the clues and then you're using those words back on your kind of like deduction screen to kind of fill in what has happened.
Mm.
The fun of it is how much you actually have to apply your own logic to what's going on there. All the information is obviously there, but it's not presented in a way where you can find a ticket that says, ha ha ha, I'm the murderer.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's proper, like Obra Dinn, really you having to figure out what happened in a very satisfying way for the entirety of the thing. It's not too long. It's like maybe 4 hours or so if you just kind of go and plug in your way along. But I think it's a perfect gift for anyone who... like even isn't particularly into games or whatever. If you want to get somebody like a first game even, this works because there's nothing mechanically difficult about it.
Good one to play with another, like a partner who's
Not much of
a gamer because
it
is just like a logic. Yeah, you're just watching these little scenes and you're like solving a little mystery.
Yeah.
Like a book or, yeah.
Yeah, it's $25, $26 I think, Australian. It is basically going to an escape room with someone, if you play it with someone else.
Yeah.
But it's like four or 5 hours-ish worth. Very good value for money if you view it like that as a little collaborative experience.
Yeah.
So smart.
Totally works as a co-op game and obviously isn't designed to facilitate that in the game. But if you sit there and play it with someone, there's no rush. It really is.
It did my brain in a bit because we were doing that simultaneously to our other playthrough we're doing at the moment of L.A. Noir.
Mm-hmm.
And L.A. Noir is very much a game where solving the case is dependent on what the game is actually, how the game is actually wanting you to solve it. You know what I mean? It's like very, you got to ask the right thing at the right time and get it in the right, you know, it's like, it's very like more mechanical and doesn't always seem to align with just you using your common sense and logic.
Totally.
And when we were sitting down to play one or the other, I was always like forgetting like, now which one of these is the fucked one and which one is the one where you actually do have to apply some actual like thought to like, because we would do that in L.A. Noir and the game would be like, I don't care. I don't care that you've solved it. I don't care that you can see what's happening. You have to go through all these steps. Whereas, like, Golden Idol is just like, if you just for whatever reason, if you just intuit and you just got it immediately,
right.
you can just go boom, 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 boom. They did it there.
Because, yeah, in Golden Idol, you have, yeah, your deduction screen, which is, yes, that Mad Lib thing, as we said. But often it'll have on the right-hand side sort of like, oh, you can start to assign names to the characters in the you know, tableau. Or you can...
useful sort of things like you keep track of on a red string corkboard.
Which it will tell you if you've got those right sort of as you go through them as well.
Yeah.
So that can be the way you do it. You can progressively just get everything sorted. Or, yeah, like you say, Tommy, it's like, oh, if you just think you've figured it out, you can have a crack and you may get it correct.
It'll kind of tell you you're completely off.
Right.
Or it'll be like, oh, yeah. You're nearly there.
Yeah.
When you get to two words in the wrong place, it'll be like, there's only two words.
Yeah.
This would be a cool one even to like group setting, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Gather the family around the old monitor. Everyone into the study.
It's immediately easy to understand. Like there is nothing video game barrier to this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
The art direction and the design is all awesome. Mm. It's got this, all the people, it's like this really creepy sort of, it is that real sort of like, Sierra, kind of that era of like kind of creepy looking.
Yeah. Maniac Mansion.
Yeah.
It's really great. And I would, genuinely recommend it as a gift for, because it's gone under a lot of people's radars, I think.
Yeah.
And almost anybody who wouldn't turn their nose up at a game as a gift, that's a gift.
Oh, there is a demo. We should say. However, you can't carry the progress from the demo across.
No, and it's like four levels, which is like 30% of the game almost. So you could absolutely play the demo, but if you like the first one, I would honestly recommend just going into the full thing then.
Also, because our experience was that the levels in the demo are like in a different order.
Slightly different order.
Yeah, so you kind of skip ahead.
Skip over one, I think.
So
I mean, if... Yeah, maybe get the demo and do like the very first one is like super easy. It just kind of
like
to show
tutorial,
you how to do it.
Yeah.
So do that if you're in, just get the game because the game just gets better and better with each progressing level. And
but also,
the fact that you can't carry over your progress is annoying.
If you have liked, Ace Attorney games or Phoenix Wright or like literally any, Return of the Obra Dinn is a great one, any detective game, but you want one that is more... of a mental challenge, a genuine lateral thinking challenge, just go in, I reckon. This is a fantastic game.
It's a great game and a good gift.
Yeah.
For our gift-giving guide.
That's it. This is partially our Mario trailer reaction episode, but it's also partially our start of the holiday season.
Holiday special.
Our festive season kickoff episode.
We just wanted to go through and you mention a few things that, because it's fucking hard. I got to buy gifts for my family. None of them like games. And also, if you have someone who doesn't know about games but wants to buy something for someone who does, that's where it becomes sort of helpful.
Well, just holiday guide in general as well.
Yes.
Because I thought this would be a good one to kick us off with.
Yeah.
Anthony from our Patreon.
Oh, yeah, we put the call out to patrons. Sometimes we do that.
Yep.
You would have heard with reviews, we'll sometimes be like, hey, patrons, what do you think? So if you want to get some of your thoughts heard on the pod, sign up to the Patreon.
Instead of a holiday turkey on your plate, how about a Pokemon? What kind of Pokemon would you not mind stuffing with herbs and spices?
Oh, edible Pokemon.
I like this question.
Should have been a whole ep, really. I mean, there's like, what, 1,000 to sift
through?
Well,
we're already an hour in, too. Like, even the holiday stuff is like...
Fuck.
I mean, this one stuck out because I thought, like, if you're feeding the whole family, do we just Google, like, what's the biggest Pokemon?
Snorlax?
Is it Snorlax?
I don't know if I want to eat a Snorlax, though, because he'd be all fatty. I don't know if they'd actually
yum.
That's
be...
good, yeah.
That's great.
Imagine Snorlax belly, like pork belly.
But just fat.
Oh, there'd be some meat in there.
The way I imagine a Snorlax for some reason is that the meat is thin, way down the bottom, and he's all fat. Because this is the thing you got to remember about Pokemon. They're... physiology is weird.
They're not real, yeah.
Yeah,
But then a pig is fat, and a pig has a lot of meat.
That's true.
I'm sure someone out there will have done the heavy lifting for us. I'm just looking up.
Bloody Snorlax. Bloody lifting.
Which Pokemon would be the best to eat? I'm just Googling that. I'm just saying.
Snorlax isn't a bad call. There are some that are just like a Pokemon version of a cow.
Right.
I forget what a cow is, and there's a million birds.
What's the pig one? Isn't there a recent pig one?
Yeah, LeChonk is the small pig, and then it evolves into Oink something.
I'd eat Oink something.
Here's a post from nearly a year ago on r/Pokemon. A guy has said, which Pokemon would you most want to eat? I'll go first.
Was this Anthony?
You're allowed to just post what Pokemon you'd want to eat without...
Yeah. Right. I'd eat a Squirtle. I think being water tight
no
would make
way.
The meat extremely soft like fish because of all the extra water in its
there
system.
There did used to be that like Galapagos turtle that got eaten to death.
Yeah,
they
turtlenecks.
Even...
Turtlenecks were, yeah, yeah.
I've never a eaten a turtle or a tortoise myself.
And I never will. And I never will eat a Squirtle. I think that's a very dumb suggestion.
Yeah, that's
I
a
have
bad
the
choice.
Same the yeah. same problem in my brain with real life animals where if a Pokemon is too cute, I'm suddenly a vegetarian.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd eat a Blastoise, but not a not a cute
but
little Squirtle.
But then again, you've got to think about taking down it too. Like, maybe this is too much, but there's no way to farm a Blastoise because they're breaking right. out of there the second you try to cage them up.
That's true.
So, unless you cage them in a Pokeball.
Oh, shit, they do work, don't
right?
they? Yeah, okay.
You can have a farm that's all just Pokeballs, like the Matrix, you know.
That's not, you know what? I don't know. Because there's, you know, Goldeens and Magikarps and all the fish.
Yep.
I reckon maybe like...
Gyarados.
I think a Poliwhirl might taste good.
Oh, yeah.
But also it might kinda, be... I could imagine it being toxic.
Poliwhirl just kind of looks like a toddler, though.
Little tadpole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the little swirl suggests to me almost like a rainbow paddle pop kind of flavor.
But like, because you know? Frogs are a delicacy. I don't
true.
Know what tadpoles
yeah, yeah, yeah.
taste
true.
Like, but caviar is a delicacy.
Yeah.
And do they ever get into this in the... it sounds like something that probably like someone on a trail says to you, a little joke about like eating, you know... They don't really get into that in the world, do they? It seems a bit fucked up to
I
be like...
I feel as though there was something with this most recent game where they're like, Pokemon eating is confirmed or whatever.
Okay.
But because you're doing a lot of cooking in this.
That's true.
With sandwiches and whatever, but it's not really getting too much into...
Magikarp caviar entree. And I will have an Oinkosaurus.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna fucking suck a Togepi out of its shell.
Oh yeah,
oh,
that's what
yeah,
I'm doing.
That's oh,
well,
good.
Fuck
Lechonk.
You, little. I'm wrong yeah. about the cute thing. You
Lechonk's Lechonk? Gonna be tasty.
Yeah. Well, I
yeah.
want the big. I want the evolved version of that.
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And a Snorlax to feed the family, I reckon.
Yep.
Yeah.
This person's commented. Oh man, imagine a whole table taken up by just one King Lacraw claw. And then someone's replied to that just going, dude.
Yeah, Reddit's good shit.
It is good shit. Yeah, there's a lot of people not really wanting to engage with this thread, I have to say. A lot of people really... and then a bunch just like... I mean, I'm not in on the most recent Pokemon.
Oh, sure,
to know,
yeah.
Like, what some yeah. of these are.
I'm going
to
eat that one that's just a set of keys.
Yeah.
Choke to death.
Slowpoke tail.
Yeah, nice.
I'll get those keys out with the magnet one. You'll be fine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. A Magnemite. Yeah, get them out of my claw. And then me eating the Magnemite and dying again.
Magnemite
I'm
going
to eat a Voltorb and get it to explode me.
Oh, here we go. I mean, the obvious is the Pokemon with its own aromatic. Farfetch'd Stew would be a must-have, I feel like.
He's holding a leek.
He's got the leek. I love leek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm picking.
That's
but
not
just
bad.
The leek. Piss off the little duck. I'm just cooking up the leek.
Then you've got a leek and a sad duck. Just get a separate leek.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Well, all right. I hope that helped with your question.
Yeah.
I hope that you now are set up for the holiday season.
Yeah.
We said that we weren't taking advertising money, and now you know why it's not being offered.
Yeah. Let's quickly get
through... Because there's no company that's like, we do want to be branded with which Pokemon would you eat? Oh, I don't know, the one that kills me.
Let's go through a couple more of these holiday questions. Andrew Hay has said, Dear Filth, my in-laws are visiting at Christmas and I'm on call for the whole period. I really want to finish the next 100 hours of Persona 5 Royal. The next 100. So you've seen the title screen and then you're like, oh boy, I've got a lot to go.
Yep.
Do I take my Switch to work and pretend I've been called in? Is it rude to ignore my in-laws and just deal with shadows in Mementos? How do I best handle the situation?
I mean... You know the answer.
You know it's rude.
Yeah, you know it's rude.
We're not going to say don't do it.
Exactly.
That's right.
Depends what you think of your in-laws. If this is like a kind of like frosty situation where you don't really get on with them, I think you're justified in doing this.
Because hell, you could just pretend to be called into work and not play Switch games if you don't like your in-laws.
You can just go for a drive until the tears start to come.
That's right.
I do think that there's... It is perceived as more rude, for whatever reason, to be in the same house but doing something different to people rather than coming up with some excuse to leave the house and spend the exact same amount of time away from them.
Agreed.
I don't think it's rude to do that. It's not honest.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
dishonest, but it is also kind of sparing their feet. If you don't want to spend time with someone, you should never feel forced to.
However, it is rude to your partner.
Yes.
Leaving them to deal with a situation that you've gotten out of.
Right, by lying.
Yeah. But let's say this rude. Also too. Let I mean,
but
we
if
don't
she
know...
never knows.
I mean, hey, cheating is fine.
It's only rude to let someone find out.
We're moral relativists here on the podcast. And...
We don't know what kind of job specifically this person has when they say that they're
point.
On call, because my head immediately goes to like doctor or nurse.
Yeah,
now you've had a big year. You've had a pretty big and stressful couple of years.
Why?
A funny answer.
The master of improv. Yeah,
so you're entitled to have your downtime wherever you can get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, you know what? Yeah, I have a very demanding schedule. I just really don't have, you know, I'm putting in my time. I'm having my dinners with the in-laws and stuff. I just want a bit of time away to play a game before I'm called into the emergency room or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go in a couple of hours early just to get some Persona Royal in because I need to get a little bit back for me. I don't think that's a rude scenario. However, that is assuming that your on-call job is a stressful medical-based thing. Mm. You could be on-call at just like an IT. You know what I mean? It's like,
true.
In which case, it's like, it's pulling the piss a little bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's already such an easy job.
It is rude to feel annoyed that someone doesn't want to spend time with. Like, to demand someone's time is rude. You know what I mean? Like, it's rude of the parents, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The in-laws. It's rude to have an expectation that somebody entertain you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
maybe
I also
less
think...
so during Christmas because it's what's done, but I do think that so.
But I don't give a fuck about the in-laws. Yeah, it is more about the partner. It's like, you get into a relationship, you have an obligation to spend time with their family.
Well, it also depends what other kind of stuff you're doing. You know, if you're taking them around on some day trips, you're having the meals with them, you've cooked with, you know, if you're spending a lot of your other time with them, and you're just being like, you know what, I'm just going to fuck off to work an hour early.
This is what I was
going to
say. Forget the work thing.
Yep.
If you're already doing enough of it,
yep.
If they want too much of it, it isn't rude to just be like, hey, I need a little bit of time
but I think, well, the other point is they are on call, so they may just have to go to work for real. Throughout
anyway,
Christmas.
Yeah.
So,
you know what would be rude is if you're meant to be doing surgery and you're fucking hanging out with a cat car.
That's right. Yeah.
That is legally rude.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's the other side of the coin. It's like Atlas, you know, spent quite a few years and time and money and resources into porting this game onto the Switch for people to play in environments like this. Mm-hmm. So I think it's actually rude to them to not engage with this product
now,
that they've spent a lot of time putting out there for people like you to be able to enjoy.
This is the kind of bullshit that I love.
What I'm saying is, be a sociopath.
Right. Now, got a question here from Ethan. Are there any cool games/accessories for Xbox Series S that will be worth buying for a 12-year-old? Our answer, Ethan, we don't know. We're not 12. I don't know any children.
I think this might have been a sting operation.
I have no answer.
Tickets to the Mario movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pre-order. Pre-book gold class tickets to fucking Mario.
I don't know, fucking steering wheel or some shit.
This isn't an accessory, but it is relatively easy to set up emulation on an Xbox Series S.
Ooh.
And it doesn't break the Xbox. It doesn't mean that they can't play any other games on it. It is a separate thing that is safe to do. I would say look up a guide to that.
Right.
You can put thousands of games on that Xbox for your 12-year-old. The
Love
classics.
It.
The Marios, the Sonics, the shit that we adults love to see a movie about. So maybe get that set up on them therefore. It is obviously that's not a money gift.
I was going to say,
you can wrap up.
For a 12-year-old, I reckon an experience gift is not, they'd be like, no, give me Lego Mario.
I think you could give it to them on one of the new external hard drive things or whatever, maybe.
Yeah,
like plug it in that way. So it's also expanded storage.
You give them a hard drive and they're like, oh, you just got me an external hard drive? And then you're like,
Well, how old do you think? Is that a 12-year-old?
Yes. And then
Mr.
the 12,
Kelly.
And then you're like, well, A, an external hard drive can be expensive, so don't fucking turn your nose up at a little kid.
Yep.
B, it's got 1,000 games on it.
Well, those SSD ones for the Xbox are super pricey too.
Oh, yeah, true.
Or they can chuck more of the Game Pass thing. And also, if the kid doesn't have Game Pass is great.
That's true.
Yeah.
A year subscription to Game Pass would be a big
buy them. Yeah. Buy them a hat in Fortnite.
You could get them
that's
the,
quite the accessory.
Some virtual bucks.
You could get them the friend of the show Xbox fridge.
Yes.
And then they open the fridge up and there's like a printed out instructions of how to do this and you know how
you're
to
cooking
hack
for
to
yourself
do
now.
Search.
Store your food in here. I'm gonna say, do not get them an Xbox fridge.
Yeah, that's
nobody get anyone an Xbox fridge.
You
they're
can tell
really
we're not
bad.
Getting payola from Xbox because yeah,
it's one of the worst fucking pieces of shit that I've ever had to bother touching.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe emulation or like an external drive thing or Game Pass.
You know what, another good one for someone who's maybe into games but not as tapped in, and it's going to be a long wait. You might have to get them, you know, something smaller physical in the meantime. But just because I can see yours on the shelf, Knox, the Playdate. Put them in line for the Playdate.
Well,
yeah.
It's a cool little gadget. They're going to be waiting a while.
But if it works.
Just, you know, if it works.
And I haven't heard back from them for a long time.
Really?
I know it's been Thanksgiving over in the US, but like... I'm pretty annoyed at this.
I think that's a cool one that you could surprise someone with.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
if they weren't fully like tapped into that being a thing.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Analog Pocket that I really want. That is very cool. That
I was
like...
gonna recommend this when we do our own gift recommendations. Oh, right. Yeah, for this was for the millennial in your life. Analog Pocket apparently can play every Game Boy game that's ever existed.
Yeah,
more than that too. Like, so it's an FPGA thing, like that Mister I've got that I've talked about on here before. But it has
the
a built-in
Female Professional Golf Association. That's what FPGA stands for.
That's what I'm is there a Mrs.? it's running an FPGA thing that is very similar, which means it can do very accurate emulation of basically everything that came out before like before the PlayStation-ish, before like the 3DO and shit technically, but like anything up to like that 16-bit era,
right.
You'll be able to put an SD card in that fucking thing and run those games pretty easily with a little hack.
And they're not expensive. They're like a couple hundred bucks US, I think.
To get them shipped to Australia, it pushes it up to about 500.
What?
Total Australian dollars.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why I've not pulled the trigger on one yet.
If you're in Britain, that's like $4. So
and
that's
if, fine. Yeah. And if you're in America, also the Steam Deck is another option for that.
Yeah, true.
I saw Amazon Australia just selling them now.
For way marked up prices.
Oh, really?
For like $800 more than they should be.
Get stuffed. I believe we answered this question from Aiden. He asked, what are your thoughts on getting subscriptions to like streaming services or Spotify or Patreon as gifts? I mean, getting a gift of our Patreon to someone is the best gift that you can give.
Yeah.
I
am
Once
conflicted
again,
about
we're
that.
We're not paid.
It's so much value, but
it's getting someone the year subscription to Game Pass. It's like they're going to it's kind of a funny one because it's like it's generous, you know, they're getting a year's worth it, but then it's like it's going to run out and it's like you're on your own now, chief. It's like it is a little kind of like, you know, it's like an ongoing thing that if they're enjoying it, they're going to have to keep paying for. It's a little, I don't know.
And it's not I think my thing is like it's not physical. I do think I personally value that thing of giving someone something that they can see and
you can get those like cards and stuff I suppose and like wrap it up nice with your own written stuff on it that you can jazz it up a bit. But
I think I go either wildly like a physical thing that you can see and be like, oh, I remember that this is a nice gift from my friend, or like take someone to dinner where it's like an experience.
Let's quickly try and answer this one. Another one from our Patreon, MG. I need to get a joint birthday and Christmas present for my flatmate. I'm in the UK. He's a 26-year-old male who likes video games and football, soccer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fucking hell,
this
mate.
This caveat, he's not worth spending any more than £20 on. Thanks in advance.
Fuck. I got 20 quid here for my mate, for my flatmate.
You're pushing around 50 Australian dollars-ish.
Yeah.
More like 40, but...
45-ish, yeah.
So a £20... Well, sorry, how much is that?
45.
40 to 50 Australian.
40 to 50 Australian. So really the only information that we've got to go on here is that he's something soccer-based. He's interested in soccer, so...
FIFA.
I'm assuming he'd have FIFA, he'd have Championship Manager, that sort of the thing.
I mean, otherwise this guy asking us for advice is just insane if he doesn't have FIFA.
But if he's never heard of it and you've gotten him the best fucking present...
Yeah.
That's true.
They made a fucking soccer video game. Sorry.
You can pretend to be playing soccer on the fucking PlayStation, mate.
Well, hey, you know, I don't think we covered this, but there was one of those indie direct things a couple of weeks ago, and Sports Story is out This month. It's out
soon.
Very soon.
Yeah. Games,
the follow-up to Golf Story.
Yes.
Great little game.
Yep.
Great little indie game, kind of RPG where you're playing you're playing golf in between doing these little RPG quests kind of things.
I think it may even be out now because I was looking at stuff we could do for videos.
So I'm excited to play that because the first one was really good and this one kind of opens it right up, has a whole bunch of different sports in it. Maybe this could be a good one. Might not be on his radar and
very
I think it'll be on... It's on it. Is it on everything or just the Switch to start with and then other stuff?
I don't know, but it's on Game Pass and it is sub $40 if you buy it, I believe. Yeah.
There you go.
So
get him Sports Story.
Get
before
him
we've
that.
Done it. It'd be great if we come back next week. Or, worst game I've ever played. Yeah. He moved
get him,
out.
Get him a soccer ball with like Mario's on it.
Yeah, that's good. That's actually good.
Yeah.
If you because the suggestion of he's not worth more than $20 makes me think this is kind of like a, I don't know, this is a weird relationship.
Sounds
so
like
getting him a joke shitty
present.
Gift would
yeah.
be good.
Yeah. Sounds like you want to get him a bloody knuckle sandwich, mate.
Whoa.
You guys might hate each other, so get him a soccer ball with your face painted on it that he can fucking just
that's
kick
pretty,
around.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Would that cost less than $50 to get your own face plastered on a soccer ball?
Well, if you do the painting yourself.
Sure.
And you get a cheap soccer ball.
Used. Yeah. You got to steal one out of someone's backyard.
Yeah. You just wait at the sidelines of a game.
Yeah, it's not your one because this one's got my face painted on it. So
the paint's still wet, mate.
You're holding the paintbrush. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Was your soccer ball holding a paintbrush? No, so fuck off.
Do we want to do any of our own gift recommendations?
Yeah, let's whip around real quick.
Because we did some prep, didn't we? Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I'm just getting mine up now.
Well, I can start because a lot of mine, I tried to think about things that I thought other people might like.
Mm-hmm.
And I
what
wasn't
a wild
able,
approach for a gift
I
guide.
Know. And I wasn't able to use that empathetic part of my brain.
Okay.
So I'm just going to list some things that I like that if you know someone similar to me, they might like.
Okay.
Because I know that it's hard to... My parents find it really hard to buy gifts for like my brother who is like probably more into games than me. I'm slightly easier because I'll enjoy...
We've got to get him on the show at some point.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be on it.
If you're listening, get in touch with us.
You will never hear from him.
If you need help, just blink.
I love the idea that this is like a psycho situation where Adam's brother is Adam in a wig.
I would not be surprised at all if that's the case. Yeah. We've never met him for all the listeners.
No, he doesn't care. Anyway, some sort of... If you've got someone who cares at all about like streaming or recording games, Elgato make real good shit.
Yes.
It is good to know that that brand amongst a bunch of shit. I was in JB Hi-Fi yesterday and like all of the ones that are like weirdly just are the sort of Chinese knockoff Amazon stuff you see, which is like, why is that $15? Oh, because it's really shit.
There's a lot of bad ones. I've heard good things about like Ava Media maybe make okay ones, but we've used Elgato stuff for everything we've done and they make very good, reliable, generally.
Yes.
Tools for that sort of thing from lights to the actual recording devices themselves. And like a green screen and all sorts of stuff. They work very well, and I would genuinely recommend. They've put out a new Stream Deck.
Oh yeah,
that looks cool now. It's got some knobs on it, a bit like you, mate.
Oh fucking hell!
You've been thinking about the Steam Deck.
I'm dropping little hints for my
Logitech as well. Their baseline 1080p webcam is great for streaming. And their lights and stuff are really good as well. So, yeah.
Sure.
Agreed.
It's a simple way of... And I know younger kids as well are interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think you're technically meant to until you're over... Maybe it's just 13 or something.
I think so.
But so that is... And it's a thing when you Google it, it is fucking hard to figure out what's what because there are so many not so good products that are competing.
Well, yeah, like the COVID thing, like the explosion of streaming, podcasting and stuff, a lot of shitty competitors came out trying to make a quick buck. So yeah, Elgato is the one.
That's the HD60X in particular is the best sort of
the streaming recording thing.
Middle ground one. Yeah, it's a capture card that plugs in USB. You need a decent PC to run that though. There's more to look into obviously if you're thinking about this as getting this for someone else, but it's a good place to start.
I'm going to say, as a pretty versatile gift, I think this could fit into a lot of different categories.
Okay.
Lego Mario.
Yeah.
Because I have two of the sets. I had a fun time building them.
Okay.
Lego's fun.
Yep.
And I will vouch for my girlfriend's four-year-old nephew.
Right.
He doesn't know what Mario is. He fucking loves it. Even not having any kind of like attachment to the character.
Yeah.
And they keep pumping these out. They're making new sets like every couple of... There's so many of them now.
There's a Bowser one.
Yeah, there's like... Yeah. You can get like a big Peach castle. One, you can get like a smaller little starter set.
Mario. Luigi Mansion.
So for whatever kind of... Yeah, there's Koopa. Varying sizes and prices of sets that you can get.
Goomba.
Sonic. There is a Sonic one.
There is a Sonic one. Seinfeld.
I love that episode.
I've got the Seinfeld one. It
talks.
He
interacts
so
with the environments in different ways.
Your guys do this. I put Kramer on the stand-up stage.
Oh man.
I don't have the Seinfeld one.
Well,
it's a classic.
But I do.
Now you know what to do.
Horizon Zero Dawn one is good too. There's a lot of decent Lego stuff. Yeah, you're right.
But as a you know a kid that's maybe into games a bit or even if they're not, it's just a fun little that could be the intro to like.
A lifetime of being a Nintendo fan.
I mean, I keep razzing up my girlfriend's sister by saying... Because I think she's terrified that he'll come round and he'll get a little glimpse of the... Because he's sort of seen little bits and bobs and like he kind of... I showed him the play date and she can just see the cogs start to turn and I just kind of see her looking at me being like, don't you fucking dare. And then he loves Paw Patrol and there's that... It looks dog shit, but that Paw Patrol racing game is on Game Pass, I think.
In Paw Patrol, they call dog shit shit.
Okay.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm queuing that up, ready to go. I'm gonna get the controller in his hand. He's gonna play a little Paw Patrol racing game, and then the nagging is gonna start.
And then 20 years from now, she'll be able to pinpoint you introducing him to video games as the reason her son is now radicalized.
Yeah. AKA a podcaster.
Yeah.
I've got a gift recommendation here for dad.
Okay,
for my dad.
Does this work for a dad?
This works potentially. God of War Ragnarok. It's a good game about father-son relationships.
Yep.
My dad loved the first game.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to get my dad God of War Ragnarok, I reckon it'd go down a real treat.
Oh, man, this would be great. Almost worth doxing your dad just the day of December the 25th and like him opening the door.
16 copies.
Like, pile.
I think you'd really like that, honestly. what else have I got here?
Miracle on 34th Street style. 500 copies of God of War Ragnarok.
Hell yeah.
All addressed to Mr. Vanell.
Yes. Please do it. I Googled gaming-themed Fleshlight. And weirdly,
a month ago. 3 months later. Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Right.
No, I don't feel enjoy that.
I want a full season.
Weirdly, one of the results was like for on Etsy, it was a 1/6 scale Fleshlight that I think was meant to be used in like a model diorama.
What?
Yeah, like a 1/6 scale, like for a dollhouse.
Right,
like Mad Max's.
Right.
No, not Mad Max.
Or a Fleshlight.
What was the Mighty Max?
Mighty Max.
Or a Fleshlight for your penis.
Well, my recommendation was to buy it for a mate. That's a good
A
gift.
Tiny Fleshlight is a funny.
Buy that really for your flatmate. Old China.
Tiny Fleshlight.
I feel like if like Guess What and What's New and Granny May still existed in the pranks bit, that would definitely be an item, a micro Fleshlight.
And then weirdly, in the related Fleshlight results was a Shrek Fleshlight, but it's Shrek's ear.
Oh, why? Yeah. When he's got such a beautiful mouth.
So I thought that was like kind of gaming themed. That's it.
We got a look.
A recommendation for something to get no one is a Funko Pop.
Yeah, don't
it's
do
my
it.
Personal
they're
opinion.
Awful.
They're bad.
I think if you can't, this is, I think, a broad category that a lot of people would like. And I like, there's a bunch of different like app controlled lights you can get.
I
think they're cool as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been meaning to look into this.
Fucking rad. Okay. Yeah. Where would you want to put it? And I'll give you a recommendation. Ooh. Shrek's ear, because I've got a recommendation for that.
In my house specifically?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my office doesn't get a lot of natural light.
Very
so I'm always
true.
I still don't feel like I've nailed the lighting solution in there. Okay. I don't like having the big... The room lights are, you know, especially at night, it's like, this is too bright.
It's way too bright.
Yeah.
I don't know why I asked that, because there's lots of different starting places. You could start with... I really like the Philips Hue ones, which is one of them in that little lamp. You get like a starter pack that comes with a bridge, and the bridge means that they're communicating over this thing called Zigbee, which is a different type of wireless communication method to Wi-Fi.
And Bluetooth. It's a whole third one.
And to Bluetooth, so that they work more snappily.
Okay.
So you're not connecting to your Wi-Fi going through the router and all of it. It's meant to make it a bit speedier.
I think it's just to make more money for Philips.
It does seem to work.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure Bluetooth would work as well.
So a lot of their most recent lights you can just control with the Bluetooth app.
Right, and there are those like third-party ones.
And there's a million that are a bit cheaper, and like if you don't want to be able to control them with your voice, if that doesn't matter to you, which is part of the reason that I ended up going with the Philips Hue one, you can get them on sale, but like... Yeah, there's a ton of cheaper options, including ones that you can put behind either a monitor or a TV that can sync up to what you're putting on that screen. And I think that shit's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
There's new ones that are from the Hue thing that don't need the expensive sync box that you can only justifiably buy on a sale.
Yep.
That plugs HDMI stuff into, that will only sync with stuff that's on your PC, but through an app on that. Mm-hmm. They've put out these smaller, that alarm is about your car park.
Oh, God damn.
We've been here for 5 hours. Yeah. Fucking hell.
So you can,
I recommend
smaller
Tommy,
light strips behind a monitor that you can do, but
I think get the Philips one, get the app, and then you can get a lamp that like simulates a sunrise in that room.
You can do that.
For when you've been banished to the couch.
You can. I do that every morning, have the lights come on half an hour before I wake up, and it genuinely, it's like a nightlight thing or a sun lamp.
All right.
There's these NanoLeaf ones that I think are fucking cool too, that are shapes that you plug together and can make a little art thing on your wall, but that's obviously going to change based on personal taste.
Now, those one I have seen like... doing sponsored posts with other podcasts and shit.
Sure, right.
So I think we don't mention them.
Okay. I think they fucking suck until they pay us. Then when they pay us, I'm into them.
And I'll kill myself.
But they're okay. I think a lot of people do also think they look tacky.
The NanoLeaf ones.
Which is fair enough.
The Hue ones are very elegant and subtle.
Regular light bulbs. So you can put them in whatever lamp you want to.
Or you can
one
get the strips
options.
And stuff. Yeah.
There's strips where they're invisible, they're diffused and whatever. You got options, but I think they're cool fucking things. And once you start turning lights on with an app, you do not want to go back to the wall switch, let me tell you. I got a fucking button on the side of the thing under my monitor there.
Whoa.
That's to turn on my lights.
I can see it.
And I love that shit.
I can see it from here, guys.
I push that button, I feel like a god. Edison himself couldn't stop me. He'd be surprised.
He'd be pretty surprised.
They've reinvented the light bulb. But those are fun things, but also not to everyone's tastes.
Well, I think, pardon the pun, it might be time to wrap this up.
Oh.
I do not pardon the pun. I'm going to need an apology.
Court-martialed.
Yes.
For that pun.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff, but it's hard to buy gifts for fucking people, man.
Hey, we'll come back next week with maybe some other games to recommend to buy for a gift.
Very soon we'll be talking about the best games that came out during this whole entire year.
Yes. The real gift guide.
Yeah. Give the gift of this podcast to a friend by recommending it to them. This is the time of year where we do our big wrap ups of everything, our big recommendations. We'll probably talk about some lesser known games that people might have missed and stuff like that. So
I had completely forgotten that Sports Story was so soon.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Play that this week.
Yeah, give this a share. We're on TikTok now. We haven't mentioned it on the podcast either. We're on TikTok. It's just Filthy Casuals podcast, I think. We put some content on there that is unique, as well as some highlights of some Let's Plays.
1 6-second video at this point, but we will do more.
But what
are 6 seconds?
It's a bit of fun over there. Fun.
Yeah.
And I fuck. I went to look at our TikTok to double check what it is. It is Filthy Casuals Podcast, and it blew whatever else I was going to say out of my brain.
God damn.
What a fucking political cartoon metaphor for what
TikTok
phones are doing to our brains.
Were you trying to percolate on a ferment a little outro comment?
No, I think that, the Game of the Year stuff will be fun. It's been like next week there's fucking Marvel Midnight Suns.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play that, and Callisto Protocol is out tomorrow.
Yeah.
star of Ally McBeal. So there's a bunch of stuff still happening for the end of the year.
Yes, yeah, very true.
And Crisis Course soon.
Yes.
All right, guys, filthycasuals.com.au for all the stuff that we have. Get on the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week.
I think we'll probably be doing some end of year shit on the Patreon as well for other non-video games content.
Yep. Yeah. Head to the YouTube channel. Watch all the Let's Plays and the one-off videos. Tons of stuff on there. Guys, thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I pronounce it GIFT. Like GIF and GIF. Nice. Do you fucking get it?
Yeah.
Do you fucking understand me?
Yeah, I do.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.